Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I stand by those words. I have no problem with anyone disagreeing with me when it comes to my opinions about sports or really my opinions about life. Opinions are just that. They're based on our own backgrounds and philosophies, maybe how we were raised, where we were raised, the people that influenced us in our lives previous, also based on life experiences. And so opinions, they can change even, right? We can shift our opinions, maybe see the light of day. And sometimes we change our opinions based on interactions with other humans who do not agree with us. And honestly, I feel like that's what makes the human race special, is that we're not all the same. We're not a homogenous race, if you will. But man, we'd be bored out of our minds if we all agreed all the time. So yeah, please, when you have a different opinion about sports specifically and you want to send it to me, I'm all ears, because I think I get better the more that I learn from other people. And certainly when it's come to entertainment or sports, gosh, why do we need to agree? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Maybe we don't need to disagree quite so vociferously, but we definitely should disagree. That makes us better. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours. So I told you a story about my camping excursion last weekend. Glamping, I guess, is really the cool term for it. And how we were stalked by some footsteps around our tent throughout the night. And also how we had to improvise to do s'mores when there's a burn ban in good chunks of the Northeast, but where we were camping specifically. So I did put some photos up on both Twix as well as Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. I'm trying to give you some ideas for this weekend, so go check it out. Week 10 kicking off in the NFL last night. And if you're one of those people that has a hard time staying up late, I certainly get it. I mean, I have a hard time with mornings, right? So I'd rather be up all night than have to get up early in the morning. This game definitely saved the best for last. Not that there weren't some cool moments in the first three quarters, but the fourth quarter, that was the barn burner. And I guess we should have known based on the last game between the Ravens and the Bengals. So setting the scene, gaudy numbers, of course. The two teams, these two AFC North rivals, who played into overtime in week five it was, so just a month ago, and they were in Cincinnati. The final tally in that one, 41-38. And you may remember the Bengals were really frustrated. They felt like they did everything they had to do and then some on offense to be able to earn this victory. But the defense just could not stop the Ravens and Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Great. Well, this game started out completely differently in that the Bengals defense was terrific. It really was. It was going toe to toe. They were winning those wars in the trenches. They're actually containing Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. And if you look at the final tally, the Ravens, well, they had a kneel down on the last play of the game. which took them under 100 yards rushing. And I do not know the exact number. I just know that I could look it up. But it was a very long streak of the Ravens having rushed for over 100 yards collectively in games. And this wrapped up their streak. It ended their streak because they went backward, if you will, to 99 rushing yards. But all that to say, the Bengals were forcing them to have quick possessions on offense. The Bengals were not allowing Henry and Lamar to get out on the edge and to be able to run. They were really containing them. They were playing physical as well. So this was a 21-7 game early in the third quarter. And even as the defense was playing well, Joe Burrow still locked in, especially with his top wide receiver.
He's in the gun with Chase Brown to his right. Three receivers in the game. They all go out to the left. Burrow will look to throw. Moving to his right. Now he throws over the middle. Nice. And it's caught on the run. Chase at the 45. Angling toward the far sideline at 30. 20. Nice. 15. 10.
Boom.
5.
Boom.
Touchdown. Nice. Ja'Marr Chase does it again.
Unreal.
He's dancing in the back of the end zone. Turning a short pass over the middle into a 67-yard highlight.
One play and one touchdown for Ja'Marr Chase. And there was more of that to come. Dan Horton, Dave Lapham on Bengals radio. So here is Cincinnati. Now this is on the road in Baltimore, helping to silence the crowd there, up 21-7. Think I read somewhere where this is the largest deficit that the Ravens had faced this season. So they don't generally, I'll go back and confirm that, but they don't generally, especially at home where they're really good, they don't face a lot of huge deficits. Now, you may remember they'd rallied a couple of times from deficits, and so we've seen them come back. But at home, to be down by two touchdowns is a big deal. Yeah, here's the stat. 14-point deficit, the largest for Baltimore since the end of the 22 regular season at Cincinnati. So this is not a hole they typically find themselves in. And I would say in a game that goes down to the wire and is still hanging in the balance with the final snaps, yeah, you might think third quarter, can't possibly be a turning point there. But that's exactly where it was. This turning point in the middle of the third quarter, Marlon Humphrey comes up with a huge moment for the defense because the Baltimore defense wasn't playing great at this point either. I mean, they were all right, but they were giving up huge chunk yardage. And so Marlon Humphrey punches the ball away from running back Chase Brown, and the Ravens recover the fumble. So that's midway through the third quarter. In the next few minutes, you really saw the entire tenor of this game change.
It's first and goal. Derrick Henry is the deep back, Pat Ricard the up back. Lamar from under center. Gives to Henry. Running to the left side, stiff arms a man, leans forward, touchdown for the King! And the Ravens have climbed back in this game.
And you gotta hope that that fumble was a momentum shift that the Ravens needed to win this football game.
Lamar sends Tylan Wallace wide to the left, Aguilar to the right. Jackson in the gun. He wants to throw on third down. Quick release, and it's complete. Tylan Wallace breaks a tackle. He's to the 30. Stiff arms a man. 35, 40. Midfield down the sideline and play 30. 20, 10. Touchdown, Ravens. Tylan Wallace. His biggest play since a walk-off punt return a year ago. 84 yards, and the Ravens are right back in it.
That's the call with Jerry Sandusky calls with Jerry Sandusky on Ravens radio. And yeah, before the Bengals could blink, Derrick Henry scored his 12th touchdown of the year. And then another extended drive. Well, actually, it wasn't an extended drive. It was extended yardage, not an extended drive. Early in the fourth quarter, when the Ravens get the ball back, they're about to tie the game after Tylan Wallace goes 84 yards up the sidelines. The reason this was a backbreaker and demoralizing for the Bengals is because they had three different opportunities to push him out of bounds. He is walking. Well, he's running. He's running the tightrope up the left sideline, and all they had to do was give him an extra hard shove. And three times they shove or they get a hand on him, and they just cannot get him quite out of bounds. His toe is right there on the paint, but they don't do enough. And that's why it's so demoralizing, because what ifs, right? What ifs? Maybe that stems the tide. Now, Justin Tucker, weirdly enough, continues with this tough season for him. He misses the point after attempt, so they're still trailing by a point. But yeah, the Ravens weren't done. Neither were the Bengals. But into the fourth quarter, we see the two teams combined for 34 points. At this juncture in the game now, the Bengals defense is getting tired. So they toe the line. They're physical. They do what they need to do for the first 2.5 quarters. By the time they get to this fourth quarter, it's so much more pressure from Lamar, from Derrick Henry. Rashad Bateman catches a touchdown. And these guys are sucking wind a little more. They're on the field a little longer. Now, not every drive was long, but just the culmination of the game. And they've had to chase guys all over the field. There's one particular moment in that fourth quarter where Lamar Jackson, they charted that he ran 58 yards for this little gain in the red zone. But that's what he does, right? So earlier in the game, the Bengals are able to contain him. Later in the game, he just keeps moving and juking and changing direction and dropping guys on their rear ends. And that kind of thing obviously wears a defense out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So yeah, Rashad Bateman catches a touchdown in the fourth quarter, and the Baltimore Ravens then tack on the 2 points. So now they're back up by a score, 35-28. Ja'Marr Chase, he wasn't done.
From the 5-yard line, Burrow catches the shotgun snap. He throws it into the end zone.
Boom.
Chase
Boom.
Makes the catch Boom. On the back line for the touchdown. And it looks like the Bengals will go for two with 38 seconds to go to try to win the game.
Oh, they definitely did that. That's the Bengals radio network. And you may remember going back to Monday night, the questions for Todd Bowles when the Buccaneers in the rain did not go for two against Kansas City, decided that they would play for overtime. What Bowles told us is it was a minor consideration. We were not going to go for two. We were going to tie and play for overtime. Well, in this case, we end up with the go for two approach to try to win this game on the road and not go into OT.
Burrow takes the snap. Ravens bring blitz pressure. Burrow throws to the end zone. It's incomplete. It's incomplete. And with 38 seconds left to play, the Hayes in the barn. Oh, what a wild way to end it tonight, as the Ravens will sweep the series from the Bengals and improve to 7-3. Purple rising, and the Ravens are rising in the AFC North.
We're very grateful for that win, and we're very grateful for our guys, man. The way our guys play, how they fight, how they don't give up. Just what he said, there's still time on the clock. You keep fighting. Found a way right down to the end, even the defense getting the stop on the two-point play. And that's what it took. It took a stop at the end to win the game, and our defense did that.
John Harbaugh, maybe not thrilled with the rest of what he saw from his defense, but that Marlon Humphrey strip of Chase Brown and the big stop at the end, yes, you could say that there were missed flags. A lot of people have. The Bengals have no one to blame but themselves. This game got wildly out of hand in the fourth quarter, and Lamar Jackson ends up throwing 3 touchdown passes. Everything that Joe Burrow and Chase Brown did essentially goes for naught, other than padding the stats. So they're gaudy numbers. The teams combined for 7 for 7 in the red zone, nearly 900 yards of offense. I mentioned the fourth quarter, 34 straight points. Between Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, you have 8 touchdown passes and no interceptions. So yeah, if you're looking for entertainment, well, Lamar and Joe gave you that.
I just know that's a great quarterback over there. You know, it's a lot of great quarterbacks in the league, not just us two. You know, but it's a divisional game. I just know it's going to be a dog fight with regardless, because he got dog in him.
So for the Ravens right now, they've won 7 of 8. They're in a great spot. They actually have more wins than the Steelers, who are coming off their bye, and this weekend will take on the Commanders. So should Washington end up with that win, well, Baltimore will be back in front in the AFC North. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So a couple of major issues for the Bengals to waste all the offense. Man, Ja'Marr Chase, 11 catches, a career high 264 yards, and the 3 touchdowns. And it all kind of falls by the wayside.
I think we just got to find a way to finish. We've been doing this. Every loss we had, we didn't finish. So we just got to find some type of way to finish.
Joe Burrow was asked about almost exactly that, wasting the the numbers, the great production, wasting the stretch of games where Joe and Jamar are locked in. And you could hear the frustration in his voice, feeling like this was a game that they absolutely had to have.
You look at how we're playing, and then, you know, you look at Trey Hendrickson, how he's playing. Yeah, it's tough pill to swallow. But we've had our opportunities. Obviously, you know, it's tough when you feel like you're playing well enough to win and you're not, but it's always more to do.
It's frustrating because of the work we put in. I mean, we sit up here every week and pour heart and souls into this thing, you know, and we've got a good football team and our record doesn't yet show that. There's still time. I mean, this team's going to hang in there. We're going to be there at the end, you know, and so again, this is a tough one because you're right there and you feel like you kind of let one slip away. But at the same time, still believe in these guys. They believe in each other. And there's a lot of football left to play.
That's true. But we asked our Bengals insider, Mike Petralia, when he joined us from Baltimore, about the mood, the atmosphere inside the locker room following this game. And he actually said it seemed like this was the one that beat the Bengals in that they looked beaten. They looked defeated. And yeah, what else can you do? Well, we asked him about the defense too. We'll try to bring back part of that if we've got some time this hour. But you can always find our guest podcasted separately along with the rest of the show every weekday morning at Amy After Hours. Producer Pete puts up the link. I usually throw it up on our Facebook page. And if you bookmark the link or you tell your smart device, very smart device, to play After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's essentially the same site, the same server, and it just reloads every day with the new podcast episodes. 855-212-4227. Doc is in Annapolis. What do you think about going for two in that situation?
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
I love your show. I don't think they should have won for the 2 points. They should have won for the overtime.
So kick it, tie the game, theoretically, and play for another OT.
Yeah, because they have 38 seconds. You know, the defense was doing really good. They could have hold them for a little bit and have Justin Tucker try to get a 50-yard or 55-yard field goal for the win.
True. Now, he's not been automatic this year, which is different for Justin Tucker. Other thing, though, is, and I would just say this, if they ended up losing the coin flip, now you don't know if that's going to happen, but if they ended up losing the coin flip, their defense really had not been able to make a lot of plays in that fourth quarter, and that was kind of the deal. Lamar Jackson had a perfect fourth quarter. He completed freaking every pass, and he threw for three touchdowns, and they could not contain him or Derrick Henry, and it kind of felt like the defense had already used up every ounce of positive play it had in that game.
Yeah, I know. You're right about that, but still give it a chance. You never know. You can win the toss.
That's true.
And then throw that touchdown like you did before. One pass to Chase, and it was a touchdown.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah, two times that happened, yes.
Yeah, two times exactly like that. So it's a heartbreaking loss for the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Baltimore. I just want to know if Lamar is going to go all the way this year, because he can be the reigning MVP all you want, but you got to win the big one.
Right. I agree with you about that. I'm glad you said that, Doc. Thank you so much for your phone call from Annapolis. Thank you for listening. The Ravens have a fatal flaw, and that is their pass defense. They need to figure out a way to shore up the back end of their D, because right now they're bleeding yards and they're bleeding points. And not every duo is as good as Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. But it took a perfect fourth quarter, a career-best fourth quarter from Lamar Jackson to rally them. And had the Bengals played for overtime and gotten the ball first in OT, I can imagine they would have had a real good chance to win. Now, they've supported Zach Taylor. He's been fairly aggressive since he got there. And I know any quarterback is going to tell you they want the ball in their hands at the end of a game. They don't want to give it back to the other team because that's asking for trouble. But yeah, 231 yards for Baltimore in the fourth quarter, and the Bengals weren't that far behind. They were able to answer almost every time, just not on that two-point conversion. So that's the part that's frustrating, to be sure, and to waste that kind of production, those gaudy numbers, again against the Ravens, is also frustrating. But Baltimore's got to figure out what to do with that defense, with that pass defense, to be sure, because Burrow was carving them up. At A-Law Radio, bunch of new photos up. Oh, one more thing before we take our break. I know many of you are dog lovers like I am, and having lost a dog earlier this year, when I saw Kirk Herbstreit's photos of his dog, Ben, they'd been hoping that they could keep the cancer at bay. He'd been going through, he's a golden retriever, he'd been going through chemo treatments, and Kirk had been sharing updates because he's really popular, right? He travels with him to the NFL games on Thursday nights. He goes with him when he does his college games on the weekends. He's been credentialed, Ben, I mean. There's amazing photos and videos. Lots of fans love him. They take photos of him rolling around in the middle of a football field over the course of the last couple years. So he'd become a celebrity in his own right. And earlier this week, Kirk had just asked for prayers and had said that he wasn't doing well. So yesterday afternoon, when I got online after waking up, I saw the sad news that they had to bid farewell to Ben because the cancer had spread to most of his major organs. And so I wasn't expecting to hear Kirk on the broadcast last night, and I don't know how he did it. I admire him so much. I tweeted this just because I couldn't believe how steady he seemed, and maybe football gave him a distraction, an outlet, but I know that I wasn't able to work after I bid farewell to Penny, and it touches our hearts because any of us who are pet owners have gone through something like this at some point, and it's hard when you feel like they had more life to live and you just couldn't do anything to help them. So if you haven't seen, there's a couple of photos and video. I did retweet them. You can find them there at A-Law Radio. And I know a lot of people were reaching out, just an outpouring of love and support for the Herbstreit family and just people sharing their great stories of Ben. What a sweet dog and what an impact he made on so many people. But yeah, for Kirk to be able to work last night, that took a lot of strength, to be sure. Good morning to you. It's a Friday, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Second down and two, Green Bay from their own 38. Love takes the shotgun snap. Lions bring a late blitz. Love back, looking, being chased. Love throw, picked up by the Lions. Kirby Joseph, left side. He's going to go, baby. Count it down. Five. End zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, how big is that? How big is that?
First down, Texans at the Colts 14. Stroud under center. Handoff, Nixon. Starts right, cuts left. 10. 5. Nixon still going. Takes out a defender and takes the ball into the end zone. Jones couldn't bring him down. Nixon has 6 for Houston, and they can tie the game with the extra point.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Lest you think that the Detroit Lions are only Jared Goff and the weapons he's got around him, David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I could go on and on. They've got a defense as well. Dan Miller on Lions Radio and the Texans, who are 4-0 at home. So something's got to give right off the top in this candidate for After Hours Game of the Week. The Lions are 4-0 on the road, but the Texans have not lost at NRG Stadium in Houston this year. This is your Sunday night game, and here's a neat boost, potentially, for Houston. Nico Collins could return this week. He missed the last 4 games on IR because he had a hamstring injury. So right now, they're listing him as day-to-day. They say he's doing well coming off IR, but they're not sure. With Stephon Diggs being out for the season because of the torn ACL, they could desperately use Nico. I know Tank Dell has gotten a lot more traffic, and they've got other guys they can use, but there's been a great connection, a great rapport between CJ Stroud and Nico Collins since they got into the league last year together. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. While we're talking about the offense, of course, Jared Goff, he's been terrific. We were going through the various MVP candidates at the midway point of the season, and Jared Goff is one of the most popular names out there, along with guys like Lamar and Derrick Henry, who could split some of those votes. But Jared Goff, he has found just the perfect spot for him with the perfect head coach. And I heard this clip of an interview, and actually, if you wouldn't mind dropping it in here, guys, a clip of an interview that Carissa Thompson did with Dan Campbell, and in it, she was complimenting Dan via Jared Goff, and he gets all emotional, but that's how he builds culture, is through relationships.
Jared Goff said that you're the best leader that he's ever known.
You know, that, listen, that's
I appreciate him saying that. I do. And that means a lot. And I love this team, you know?
You can tell.
I don't want to let them down. So, because they won't let each other down. It's a special group.
Part of an interview that Carissa does with Dan Campbell, he gets all teary-eyed and cries. And he does that almost routinely every week after a big game. They gave him a game ball last week, which is why he was, well, why Jared Goff was talking about him. They showed that clip beforehand. So, again, that's NFL on Fox. Who was it that, this is for, you know, different generation of football fans. Who was it that used to cry all the time? Was it Jim Mora? No, who was it that cried?
Dick Vermeil.
Dick Vermeil, that's right. Jim Mora was the playoffs, right? That was him.
Right.
Okay, so iconic moments. Dick Vermeil cried all the time. And I have a rule. Well, it's a general rule of thumb, but real men cry. It's okay. And not just over sports. They cry over the things that are important in their lives sometimes. And it's clear that Dan Campbell has sunk heart, soul, mind, body, spirit, all of his everything into this team and into this game, and it's working. The team has taken on his identity. So yeah, to see Jared Goff flourish is something no doubt he's really proud of, but I'm so happy for Jared Goff because he succeeded. What was his first year with the Rams? They went to a Super Bowl too, and he played really well. But once he kind of lost that confidence, and the turnovers were an issue his last year in LA, but once he kind of lost that confidence, he didn't feel like he had people behind him. He's talked about that. And now, you know, it's good to be wanted. It's good to know you're in a place where you're appreciated, and he has thrived. First quarterback in league history. Jared Goff making history. First quarterback in league history to complete at least 72% of his passes with a rating of 105 or better in six consecutive games, meaning he's locked in, he's on point, and right now, this is crazy. This is another step toward, it's a little bit in the weeds, but it's worth it. A nerd alert! His completion rate and passer rating in the last six games. So they've won six in a row. His completion rate is nearly 83%. His passer rating is 140. That's consistently over six games. Highest in any six-game span in the NFL for a player who qualifies, meaning you're actually out there throwing. You're not just like throwing two passes and then sitting down. But the Texans' defense is one that is near the top in the NFL in categories like stinginess. That's an actual stat. Yards per game. Passing yards per game, as well as they're among the tops in the league in terms of their sacks. They've got 29 already as a defense. And so you would expect that they want to put pressure on Jared Goff. Now, the Lions went out and they made the move for Za'Darius Smith to try to fill the hole and make up for some of the production they lost with Aiden Hutchinson. That's not completely possible, but D'Amico Ryans has got his eye on Smith.
Za'Darius has been a good pass rusher in this league. One thing that sticks out about him is just he rushes with power, right? He's quick, explosive, rushes with power. And, of course, we have to have eyes on him at all time, be well aware that we have to make sure we're blocking him. You know, he'll add something to that team that they're missing with Aiden not being there. And, you know, they added a quality pass rusher.
And then D'Amico, of course, having played on the defensive side of the ball and not that long ago, also recognizes what Jared Goff brings to the table.
For Goff, I think he's very well coached. He does a great job of protecting the football. He's not going to give you many opportunities to take the ball away. He's very smart, makes great decisions with the ball. They're an explosive offense, but what sticks out about him is when the explosive is not there, he does a great job of getting the ball to his check down. So their team can continue to churn out positive yardage.
He does definitely use the people around him. He's gotten so much smarter. And that's really, if you're going to be a quarterback who lasts in the league, that's something that you have to do. But I like the way he goes through the process. And I like the way that he makes decisions. I think the part about being well-coached matters, too. Remember, Ben Johnson was a candidate for the Washington job. Who knows? This is one of those stories about what if, how things could look so different. What if Johnson had taken that job and had been the first hire of the new ownership group in Washington instead of staying in Detroit? How things might look different for the Lions offense? How things might look different for the Commanders as well? Although I dare say Ben Johnson with Jaden Daniels, I mean, he's thriving with Cliff Kingsbury. Imagine the possibilities with Jaden Daniels. Robert's in Detroit. Robert, how you feeling about this game?
I'm excited, but the thing is, I'm slightly worried about the fact that, I mean, they got a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't recently, like, maybe possibly a sophomore jinx going on with Stroud that he's starting to be exposed a little bit? I mean, it seems like he's not doing as well at this time as he did last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would tell you that. He said that they're not playing to the best of their ability. I don't believe in those types of things, sophomore slumps, whatever it is. I think part of it, Joe Mixon was gone, so that hurt them. He's lost Nico Collins for a while. Both those guys, we hope Nico is back this weekend. Joe's been terrific since he returned. But also remember, defenses have a better sample size on him now. They've got more tape on him. They recognize tendencies. That's part of the deal, is that these defensive coordinators make a lot of money too. They know how to scout, and so now he's not catching anyone by surprise.
Yeah. I'm from Michigan. We go camping all the time, and camping without a fire?
I know.
That's terrible.
I know. It's kind of a bummer, but we did make do. If you haven't seen the photos, we found an alternate way to make s'mores.
Yeah. It's so sad. I mean, you sit around and you look at the campfire at night. That's what you do.
Agreed. But you know what? Sadder, a forest fire. So we don't need that.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, Robert. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks so much for calling. What are the chances we woke him up? I don't know. Maybe he's at work, but it certainly sounded like he had either put the phone down and put it on mute, or he'd put the phone down and had to pick it up off speakerphone, and then seemed as though we kind of caught him off guard. I mean, you called us, but we caught you off guard.
Yeah, he was raking leaves, and then he picked up the phone again.
That's all right. My general rule of thumb, not that he did this, but if you want to call up and make a fool of yourself on national radio, well, that is all on you. We've actually caught people sleeping. Producer Pete, you're not been part of this yet, but maybe at some point we will. The winter stretches on. The nights are darker. They're colder. People maybe are sleepier. We have got a whole entire, we call them our farm animals, a barnyard full of farm animals, people snoring, and they sound just like sheep, goats, horses. We've got all kinds of fun noises in there. I'm pretty sure there's either a piece of production, a rejoin, a montage of it that Isaac might have put together at some point. So, yeah, good stuff. All right, what is the After Hours game of the week? We've got some unconventional options, but I like the fact that you all are all in when it comes to some of these teams that are making noise, or maybe they weren't expected to. Plus some photos up to make it a happy Friday. You might as well, if you're going to laugh, you might as well laugh with me. And we'll get to a little more on the back half of this hour, a football Friday, and we're launching you into your weekend. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
All right, Amel, the Bengals jumped out to a 21-7 lead in the third quarter, but the Ravens just wouldn't go away.
Third and five, Lamar takes the snap. Backpedaling, drifting to the left, running left, right lob back of the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens! Rashad Bateman on the receiving end.
Fourth and final touchdown pass for Lamar Jackson. He threw for 290 yards, part of a 28-point explosion in the second half as the Ravens able to survive the Bengals 35-34. Call courtesy of the Ravens Radio Network. Cincinnati marched down the field on the ensuing possession. Joe Burrow hooking up with Jamar Chase for his third touchdown to go along with 264 yards receiving, but Bengals unable to get the two-point conversion to go with 38 seconds remaining.
It was a good football team. But we expected to come in here and win, and we did everything we could to do that. Doesn't change the fact that I'm proud. I think everybody on that field fought, gave us a chance. Also came on the road to a good team, and it's sickening that this has happened twice to us. That's what it is.
That's head coach Zach Taylor referring to an overtime loss to the Ravens earlier this year. Cincinnati now 4-6. Ravens, they're 7-3. Meanwhile, all signs pointing to Christian McCaffrey making his season debut Sunday for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers against the Bucs. This courtesy of KNBR.
He's been awesome these last 2 days, so hopefully that continues to go and go well. And expect to get him out there. And, you know, you never know for a setback or anything, but these 2 days have been great, and expect to see him out there.
Jaguars may have to turn to Mac Jones Sunday against the Vikings. Trevor Lawrence reportedly unlikely to play due to a shoulder injury. NBA, the T-Wolves overwhelmed the Bulls 135-119, outscoring Chicago 45-24 in the fourth. Anthony Edwards led the way with 33 as all five starters had at least 14. Bucks ripped the Jazz 123-100 to put to bed a six-game skid. Damian Lillard poured in 34. Giannis Antetokounmpo 31 points, 16 rebounds. And the Spurs too much for the Blazers, 118-105. College football, Coastal Carolina outscored Appalachian State 38-24, while East Carolina drubbed Florida Atlantic 49-14. And college hoops, just one game in the top 25. That was 21st-ranked Florida, disposing of Jacksonville 81-60. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Championships.
Defense wins championships.
I wanted this so bad. I dreamed this, man.
I don't know who the tackle is and I'm going against, but I'm going to kill him.
No! And no!
I check all the boxes.
Late rush. He throws it down the field.
Intercepted at the 30. 25-20. Micah Fitzpatrick goes into the end zone.
Defense. Defense. Defense.
That's dangerous.
On second down and five, hands it off to Chase Brown, steps over one tackler, crosses the 30, loses Ball's the out. Ball at the 31-yard line. Ravens say they have the ball, and they do! The Ravens force a turnover deep in Bengals territory, and we'll see if this can flip the night back in their favor as Roquan Smith came up with a fumble recovery, the force by Marlon Humphrey.
A pair of veteran Ravens come up with the fumble against the Bengals. And even with all of their veterans and the way that they were racking up yards and points, this is the only turnover a game between these two AFC North rivals, but a major change, a shifting point, if you will, really the turning point of this one midway through the third quarter. And yeah, it's Roquan Smith and it's Marlon Humphrey who seem to be in the middle of everything when they're out there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Ultimately, the Ravens able to rally with three touchdown passes from Lamar in the fourth quarter and the defense on the final two-point conversion attempt by the Bengals when they choose to go for it. The call there with Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio. We had a chance to catch up with Mike Petralia, who's covered the Bengals for a long time. He's got the Jungle Roar podcast. And we started out by asking him how much of a blow this loss is for Cincinnati.
Very much so, Amy. Jermaine Pratt was just shaking his head side to side, the Bengals linebacker, as he watched Lamar Jackson lead the Ravens to touchdowns on each of their final four drives. And that, frankly, is why big reason why Zach Taylor wanted to go for it for 2 points when the Bengals scored with 38 seconds to go. Bengals had every opportunity to win this game, like you said, just like in week number five, when they had not one, not two, but three 10-point leads in the second half and failed to close out the deal. Then they botched the hold for the game-winning field goal in overtime. Losing teams make losing plays, and the Bengals have made way too many losing plays down the stretch, and that's why they've lost by a point at Kansas City, by 3 points at home to Baltimore, and by 1 point tonight in Baltimore.
What changed with the defense, Mike, after that first half? Even the first quarter, the first half plus the first part of the third quarter, the defense was really good. So where did it go?
That's a great question, Amy. And I think without really breaking down the film, that's a tough one to answer. I will tell you, when you fail on three different tries to tackle a guy on the sideline, and fail and push him toward an 84-yard touchdown like they did with Tylan Wallace, that factors in big to poor defense. They failed to tackle at clutch moments. Cam Taylor-Britt had an interception, it appeared, when the Ravens were marching down the field in a 28-28 game and couldn't hold on to it. Bengals just this year are not able to play consistently on either side of the ball. The Bengals absolutely scored tonight and produced offensively, but even in their offense, they had critical mistakes, and the one turnover in the game cost them the momentum of the game. Chase Brown's fumble led to a momentum generator for the Baltimore Ravens, who were getting booed by, I don't know if you heard it on the national feed of this game, but they were really getting booed vociferously by their sellout crowd here at M&T Bank Stadium.
Which blows me away because they're one of the hottest teams in the NFL. But obviously, this is a game in which for a long time, for 2.5 quarters, they didn't look good. I mean, Joe Burrow has 4 touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase has a career game, not just the 3 scores, but 264 yards. And they waste that in this performance. Yep. So what did the defense have to say about maybe being the weak link? I'm obviously paraphrasing.
That's a great question, Amy. And Mike Hilton, I asked Mike Hilton that exact question after the game, and he said, you're right. They have made, they're the two best quarterback receiver tandem, or they are the best quarterback receiver tandem in the NFL, and they deserve better, and we've let them down. That's what Mike Hilton said about the defense, and that we should be a lot better. But we can't make the plays when we need to play make them, and I don't know why, which is troubling when you're in week number 10 of the NFL season. They don't know why they break down late in games. All I can observe as a reporter of this team is they keep making the same fundamental mistakes week after week after week. You play a team like the Raiders, the Panthers, the Browns, the Giants, those are there 4 wins this season. You can get away with those mistakes. Against teams like Baltimore, especially on the road, you can't. And that's really been the Achilles heel of this Bengal team in 2024.
At Trags Online, Mike Petralia, who I know from my days working locally in New England, he's been with Cincinnati or in Cincinnati now for quite a while, has the Jungle Roar podcast, and we were talking to him live there in that first hour of our show when he joined us, and fresh out of the locker room, and they don't know why the defense breaks down in the late stages, but to waste the kind of production that you're getting from Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and we're talking about MVP-like numbers for Joe Burrow, not to mention career numbers for Chase against the Ravens, but they haven't been able to hold it. A lot of frustration on the Bengals sidelines when this game was done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A lot of teams in various stages now as we head into the second half of this season. But in the AFC West, you've got the one unbeaten. That's the Chiefs. On a shorter work week, they will take on the Denver Broncos. Kansas City, remember the weather last week and Pat Mahomes telling us that he feels like he can throw the ball in any conditions because he's used to it. Well, Denver can also pose those types of challenges. And I love when we get into this time of the year where you've got the various weather that factors in. So they're not in the Mile High City. They're at Arrowhead. But could expect to have some wrinkles.
Weather forecast Sunday, 59 degrees, 10 mile an hour winds. I do think the field will be something we have to pay attention to. They had rain last night. They also have a college game Saturday on this grass surface. And the weather for Saturday is a heavy rain forecast. So we'll have to make sure we're prepared for that.
Sean Payton and his Denver Broncos are sitting on 5 wins. So you've got them and the Chargers at 5 wins. Should they take this game from Kansas City, you're talking about a major step forward and trying. This is what they've been trying to do for a few years, but there's not been a whole lot of resistance there in the AFC West. They're trying to pull the Chiefs back down to their level and just make up the gap if they can. Keep it within striking distance, so to speak. You can use a bunch of different analogies about it. But the defense for the Broncos got torched by the Ravens last weekend. So what can they do now that the Chiefs maybe found a new weapon in DeAndre Hopkins with the two touchdowns on Monday Night Football, the way that Kareem Hunt is playing? And people say to me a lot, like, I think the Lions are a better team. I think the Ravens are a better team than the Chiefs. But I honestly think that two things make them a little bit better, still give them the edge. When it's against the Lions, you're talking about a team that doesn't have as much experience in the playoffs. And for the Chiefs, how many times have we seen them rally from 10 points down in playoff games? They actually prefer the higher degree of difficulty. The Lions will get there, and I'm not saying they can't beat them, only that there's an edge there for the Chiefs and the guys who played on this stage now repeatedly for the last 5 years. When it comes to the Ravens, I think you're talking about the fatal flaw that's the defense. I heard this stat as well in Westwood One when I was driving into work last night. The Ravens have given up more chunk plays than any other team in the league. Think about that. They've got one of the best records in the AFC, but they've given up more plays, over 20 yards, than any other team in the league. So, yeah, really every team has a fatal flaw. We'll see if some get exposed this weekend. Take our After Hours Game of the Week poll. We'll talk to you Sunday night, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!